Should you be worried if you have nothing to hide? Next on Principles and Policies. Welcome to today's edition of Principles and Policies. I'm your host, Barry Sheets, the Executive Director of the Institute for Principle and Policy. And along with me today is our co-host, the Vice Chairman of the Institute, my fellow analyst, and very good friend, Chuck Michaelis.
Good to be back with you again, Barry.
It's good to have you here.
And it's always good to hear your velvet tones over the Skype. Well, the last few days, the first 2 days of the week, not so much. Not so velvet.
Yeah, well, no fault of my own. It was the internet connection that we had.
And there's not much control you or I have over that.
No, there's not. There's not. Well, Chuck, there's not much control we seem to have over much of anything anymore, especially our own privacy. Ladies and gentlemen, we've talked about on this program a number of times issues surrounding the domestic use of unmanned aerial craft to utilize for surveillance, the drone plane. Well, you know what? A lot of people have raised concerns about the propagation of these drones flying hither, thither, and yon over hill and dale, taking surveillance images, whether it be with cameras or with sonar equipment or whatever it might be, Chuck, and how that could have a significant chilling effect on the right to privacy that American citizens hold dear. But we should rest assured because recently, just over the weekend, the head of the organization Unmanned Applications Institute International, UAII, which is actually a company that trains people how to fly and operate unmanned aerial craft, in other words, drone planes, a gentleman by the name of Douglas McDonald, really kind of put aside all of those concerns about privacy and fears by saying back to a newspaper reporter who was asking him some questions about the public concern over the drones. And he says, well, if you're concerned about it, maybe there's a reason we should be flying over you, right? So that's the kind of attitude that we're getting from these individuals because, Chuck, as we've seen, the drones have been moving forward. The federal government has authorized the use of unmanned aerial aircraft in domestic airspace through congressional legislation. We've had a number of states, including Ohio, who have passed resolutions seeking to have the unmanned aerial aircraft test facilities be in their states. And yes, we had our own Ohio legislature pass a resolution here a couple of months ago asking for the same thing. Should we be concerned, Chuck? Or is this more of the, well, if you don't have anything to hide, then you don't have to worry about it.
Well, Douglas McDonald is being very short-sighted. Here's what he sees. He looks out ahead, and all he can see are dollar signs. This is the problem with this kind of thinking, Barry. It's all about profit. You and I are businessmen, and we both want to make a profit. But I think you and I would look at something that would steal someone's freedom, security, or privacy and say, no, thank you. I will not do that. This man has taken a pragmatic view and says, well, gosh, if you're really worried about something we might see from our drone in your backyard, then I guess you're the kind of person that we're actually trying to find. Okay, but when you live in a society that piles law upon law upon law upon law, when you live in a society where the Consolidated Federal Register is over 20 feet of shelf space, somewhere, somebody is in violation of the law. You, me, our neighbor, we're all doing something that's prohibited by a law someplace. That means that in a society of a huge number of laws, everyone is a criminal. And that means everyone's liable to the prosecution, including Douglas McDonald, who trains people and how to fly these things. Now, what's Douglas McDonald going to do when someday he's asked to train people who fly these surveillance drones? Well, we're going to start arming them. And we need you to train our men how to use them to fire missiles or to fire 20 millimeter cannons or to drop certain kinds of ordnance in places. Is he going to be so sanguine at that point? At what point does Douglas McDonald wake up in the middle of the night in a cold sweat and say, if you recall, in the bridge on the River Kwai, when the British commander who's built the bridge turns to the bridge and says, what have I done?
Exactly. Who let the success of the mission drive him rather than the morality of what he was up to?
Bingo. They got short-sighted and did not look at the big picture, just saw the profit and said, hey, this is going to be great. It's nothing but gravy from here on out. And then when they're done, they say, what have I done? because, as is pointed out, McDonald is making all these excuses in this article in the Atlantic Wire. The name of the article says it all. Head of drone company asks why you're so worried about drones. Well, because they can look in my window. They can look down on me in my backyard, and they can see my daughters in the backyard, and they can do all kinds of things. I was already worried when I went to Google Earth, and I could see my kids jumping on the trampoline in my backyard.
Yeah, that's a little scary. Well, and the point is, Chuck, it would be a different situation. Well, maybe it wouldn't be so much different, but there would be a level of difference to this situation should it be that only certified, say, law enforcement professionals were able to utilize this and could only utilize it under the Fourth Amendment to the Constitution, where they had a search warrant that had probable cause for searching and specified the area and things that they were searching for, like we are supposed to have under the Fourth Amendment to the Constitution. But what you have is almost anybody, ladies and gentlemen, I mean that, almost anybody can do these drones, because as of now, as of this thing, according to an article from CNSNews.com by Terrence Jeffrey, that the Federal Aviation Administration has now authorized 106 different governmental entities, and they don't spell it out as an agency, but an entity, that could be a single individual, ladies and gentlemen, a governmental entity,
or a contractor,
to fly these unmanned aircraft systems in United States airspace. Now, that's 106 entities, Chuck, but they have actually issued 200 certificates of authorization. So there are at least 200 groups, organizations, and governments within the United States who now have the authority to fly unmanned aircraft systems on American soil, in American airspace, over your private property. Chuck, that's a whole different picture here. And there was a hearing a week ago Thursday. This is Friday, so this was a week ago last Thursday. The House Homeland Security Oversight Subcommittee, chaired by Michael McCaul, who's a Republican from Texas, waxed poetic about this idea of having all of these drones. He pulled a map out and showed all these markers on the map of the United States where all of these entities had been approved by the FAA to fly these drones. And he had the General Accounting Office in to testify, and they said that the FAA's long-term goal is to permit drones to operate in U.S. airspace to the greatest extent possible. So in other words, Chuck, I don't think there are ever going to be a time when you can walk out in your backyard and feel comfortable that you're not having somebody fly overhead with a camera seeing what you're up to.
And therein lies the problem, Barry. One of the things that got the Fourth Amendment written was the fact that during the Revolutionary War period, the British simply would go in unannounced and search residences. They would search private offices. They would search ships. They would search wagons being drawn. They would just simply, without a warrant or any type of warning, would simply search them. Now, obviously, you can see how this would be infuriating, but we're starting to see that more and more and more. You get pulled over for going 67 in a 65, and the officer says, I'm going to need to take a look in your trunk. Well, there are two responses. You can say, okay, you can do that. Or you can say, you know, I respectfully decline on the basis of the Fourth Amendment. And of course, you will get the argument, the same argument that this McDonald character came up with. And that is, why are you worried about me looking in your trunk if you don't have anything to hide? Well, the fact is, Barry, that it's none of your business whether I have anything to hide or not. Unless you've got probable cause that I've got something in there, you can't look.
Exactly.
And I've told my wife, I said, you know, if something happens and cop says, I'm going to have a look in your trunk, we will probably get detained, because I will say, well, then you're probably going to have to get paperwork, because I will not stand for a non-warranted search. It simply will not happen. And it's a matter of principle. It's not a matter of I'm hauling this or that or another thing, because I'm not. I got luggage in my trunk generally.
Well,
in fact, this is a principle thing, and these Republicans are all dancing a jig because they're going to get lots of campaign donations from companies that build drones and train people how to fly drones and manufacture drones in their districts and those kinds of things. And again, it's very short-sighted. At what point do they say, what have I done?
But you're absolutely right. But Chuck, we have no reason to fear, though, now, according to Mr. McDonald and according to our Congress here. We have nothing to fear over this. But it's interesting because the director of the physical infrastructure issues panel of the General Accounting Office, a gentleman by the name of Gerald Dillingham, testified in that subcommittee and said that there have been concerns about the increased use of these unmanned aerial systems in the airspace has potential privacy implications. But the next thing he said was the thing that I think everybody ought to set up and take notice at. He says, currently, no federal agency has specific statutory responsibility to regulate privacy matters relating to unmanned aerial systems. Stakeholders, and he's talking about local governments and private companies, have told us that by developing guidelines for the appropriate use of UASs ahead of widespread proliferation could in fact preclude abuses of the technology and negative public perceptions of the potential uses that are planned for these aircraft. Now, Chuck, if I had to parse that statement, what he's basically saying is, nobody cares about your privacy, and no agency is going to be the watchdog for it. And they're saying if we just put together a bunch of guidelines, which means that they're not regulations, they're just guidelines, so they don't have to follow them, it's enough of a smokescreen to keep the public feeling like that somebody at least is watching out for their privacy while having widespread proliferation of these unmanned systems, and will only describe some of the potential uses that are planned for these aircraft.
Well, let me ask you a question. Based on that testimony.
Yes.
According to the United States Constitution, what federal agency has specific statutory responsibility to regulate privacy matters?
I don't believe there is any federal agency that specifically regulates privacy matters.
Every federal agency.
Yeah, every federal agency. No, there's not one specific one. That's right.
No. Every federal agency has a statutory requirement and a specific statutory responsibility to regulate privacy matters. Every single one. And this idea that somehow we have to have a watchdog and we have to basically write these rules that you and I both know will be regularly violated, completely ignored, and when it comes to court, they will basically deny the fact that the regulations were ever violated. This is sort of like when cops do bad things, taser people and beat them and claim it never happened, and the union guys all come together and that never happened, and somebody pops up with a video that shows them beating the guy's head in, tasering them multiple times. Who gets blamed for it? Here's what happens. The cops arrest the guy who came up with the video and say, it's illegal. That was a wiretap. Mm-hmm. Well, who's kidding you here?
Well, but Chuck, in case you're concerned about that, another article coming from the Associated Press in the same time frame is announcing now that the United States Marine Corps has created its first law enforcement battalion, specialized force of military police officers that can deploy to help investigate crimes from terrorism to drug trafficking, and trained fledgling security forces in allied nations. So They do have some international play, but they'll also be investigating crimes. So here we have a whole idea of posse comitatus being totally thrown off by having, and I believe there's now three battalions that were activated last month, about 500 MPs and police dogs, battalions that have now been activated on American soil. So if you're worried about your privacy issues, don't worry, the Marines might show up and take care of those for you.
Well, I'll be quite honest, I don't feel safer with the United States Marines being in charge of law enforcement. We've tried that in this country before, and it was an unmitigated disaster. That's the reason why it was made illegal with the Posse Comitatus Act. The Posse Comitatus Act was passed after Reconstruction because of the horrible abuses that were meted upon the people of the South by military occupation acting as police force. It didn't work. Both sides of the aisle understood it didn't work. They understood that it was a complete violation of the Constitution, and so they passed the Posse Comitatus Act, and now through the efforts of Joe Biden was trying to get the Posse Comitatus Act wiped out as early as the middle 1990s. So this has been a goal of totalitarians for years, and they finally got their way. Basically, the Posse Comitatus Act really hasn't been repealed. It's just been bypassed. And so now all of a sudden we've got people, and all it's going to take is a little bit of unrest. And people are going to be demanding that the military be called out, the federal military. Remember, the state militias have always been called out during periods of unrest. That's their job. That's part of the reason there is a state militia, is to keep order. We really don't have state militias anymore. We have National Guard, which is not the same thing. They are federalized troops under state control until such time as the president just simply says, okay, you're federalized. In the old days, under the Constitution, when we actually had a constitutional government, the state militias could only be called up by an act of Congress.
That's right.
The National Guard can be ordered back into service by the president. Does anyone see a problem with this?
And if they don't, we'll explain it to them on another program.
That's right. Because you're right, we're really short on time. We're sorry we ran out of time. I wasn't paying a close attention to the clock, but Barry was. Join us again tomorrow for another Principles and Policies.